Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The imminent arrival of an important person, someone such as a president, prime minister, a monarch, a king or a queen, sets off a burst of activity, doesn't it? There are a lot of preparations to be made when a great leader comes to town. The gospel reading for today tells us Jesus entered Jerusalem to a throng of people. He too is a mighty king or monarch. But his rule covers both time and eternity. Yet as this king entered Jerusalem, he arrived in the most unorthodox manner. It was certainly a contrast to any enthronement we might have of a monarch today. But you have experienced such an occasion, even in person or on TV. There aren't that many kings or queens around anymore. But Queen Elizabeth has been on the throne since 1952, and she is the longest reigning monarch in the history of Great Britain. Upon her death, a new king is expected to be installed. And that event will be like no other in our century to date. Dignitaries will come from all over the world. It will probably be a media event witnessed by billions of people. By contrast, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was more likely just a local piece of news. A colt was chosen to take Jesus into the holy city, and he more likely moved along at a pretty casual rate. The people that gathered along the way would have been very close by to Jesus. They were mostly plain clothes. They were mostly plain people, but they were excited. You would have been excited also. People from Bethany and the surrounding area were anxious to see this Jesus who had raised Lazarus from the dead. And this Jesus was coming to the holy city, Jerusalem. There, people expected him to be enthroned and lead the overthrow of the despised Romans. And the crowd showed their respect by putting their cloaks along the road there. Others cut down palm branches and put those on the road. This was a sign of respect, one that even the poorest people could extend. The crowd was not silent. The crowd saw in Jesus their hope for deliverance. And they shouted such things as, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna means, "Save now, Lord." The crowd saw Jesus as the one who would restore the kingdom as it had been in the days of David. Which brings me to a question for us this morning. What would we like to see Jesus restore for us? Maybe we would want him to restore America as we remember it. Maybe we would like him to restore an America that was more like us. Maybe we would want him to lead America to be greater than it ever has been. Would you like to see Jesus bring back the good old days? Or maybe lead us, his church, the ones who have been faithful, to fulfill our dreams? Or have I asked the wrong question here? Maybe the real important question is, what do we need for Jesus to restore to us? There's a difference. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a great King who is bringing the promised kingdom of Father David with him. But what the crowd did not understand as Jesus came into Jerusalem, and many people do not even understand today, is that the Lord's reign is much more than an earthly reign in Jerusalem or any other place. Pontius Pilate questioned Jesus about his kingdom, and Jesus acknowledged that indeed he was a king, but then he said that his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus is not like any ruler in the history of our world. He is God in human flesh. And as Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, he understands this world and humanity better than any mortal. He was made like us in every way, except he did not have our sinful nature. If Queen Elizabeth were to visit anywhere in America today, there would be a large police escort, many support vehicles, at least two limousines, I would guess more, to confuse a would-be attacker, barriers to keep the crowds from coming too close, and loads of bodyguards. There were no bodyguards for Jesus. There was no one willing to give up his life for him. There were no soldiers or security detail. There was no attempt to keep the crowd, to quiet the crowd or keep them away. There were no known protections for King Jesus. And they finally brought him down. He was betrayed by a friend under the cover of darkness while the crowds who had welcomed him were home sleeping. In a big hurry, Jesus was forced to appear before the high priest, King Herod, and Pontius Pilate in quick succession. Pilate knew that Jesus was not guilty of a capital offense. But to please the crowd and protect his position, he handed Jesus over to be killed. Jesus was stripped, whipped, beaten, and crowned with a crown of thorns. He was crucified on a tree of a cross at Golgotha. Most of his disciples fled. Satan and his followers thought they had just won a great victory. The enemies of Jesus, who had demanded his crucifixion, rejoiced. But their victory was short-lived, for Jesus arose from the dead on the third day. Sin was overcome because Jesus paid the price. Death was conquered. Because he lives, we shall live also. 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he continues to rule all things on behalf of his church. King Jesus is coming back. There will be no mistaking his identity the second time. Jesus is coming back. The trumpet will sound. The voice of the archangel will be heard. Graves will open. The dead will be raised. Every eye will see him. Revelation 1:7 says that the very sound of his name, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, the one who holds the keys to death and Hades, will welcome home his saints, those who have been faithful to the point of death. Last week, Pastor Mark reminded us of Jesus' words in Matthew about what Jesus will say to those on his right. Quote, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Unquote. This is the kingdom which we really need Jesus to restore. Meanwhile, we do our part. We wait by observing another season of Advent. We get ready to celebrate again that first coming in Bethlehem and give thanks for it. Now, crucifixion is certainly the last place the world would look for an enthronement, but there it was. Jesus crucified for you. All your sins laid upon him. By his wounds you are healed. He fulfilled God's law completely. And by his death and resurrection ushered in the coming kingdom. As we walk through our lives by faith in the Son of God, he remains with us. Our Emmanuel. Yes, he's hidden. His presence is currently hidden, but he's here. In the Word, in the water, in the bread and the wine, he uses these things to literally join himself to us. And soon, one way or the other, we will see this Jesus as he really is. What is hidden will be seen by everyone. You may have heard of this group, a group called the Gather Vocal Band. They wrote and sang this song about that great day years ago. It's one of my favorites. The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors. In the courtrooms, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king is coming. The king is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Are you ready? Amen.